Hey guys, it's Felicia. I am still somewhere in the world, vacationing, luxuriating, you know, just living my best life right now, trying to get my life together, y'all. And while I take this much needed respite, I have something fabulous for you. You don't want to miss this. Attorney Anitra is back with legal therapy. Attorney Anitra,
take it away.
Welcome back. I'm Attorney Anitra, and this is the Legal Therapy. Clarify you before you qualify them. This is session 4, and we are talking about a dirty, dirty word. It's the R in our Clarify acronym, and it stands for rest. Now, there are two definitions for rest. And before I get into what those definitions are, I want to share with you a little story. One of the stories that I've been referring to quite frequently was one of my very first big cases. I worked on it for over a year, eventually got my client a 6-figure settlement offer. I was feeling victorious, and then my client didn't take it. Although I was just 1 year into law practice, I was seriously thinking about getting out of it, but I didn't. My very next case, however, lasted only 6 days. And not because my client fired me, but because I was hired, did a deal, and got my client out of there in less than a week.
Blood hell.
It was so quick and uncommon that the opposing counsel, the other attorney, when I went to go pick up my and my client's checks from her law office, she wanted to sit down and talk to me and just meet me. She said, who is this girl who can get a deal done so quickly? She said, never had a deal go that quickly. And we actually sat down and had a really nice conversation. She was a really nice lady. I saw my client go from being on pins and needles to instantly, like within 2 days, being so much more relaxed and confident as he went back to the workplace, because he knew he had a secret weapon. He knew Attorney Anitra was on the case, and he had that amount of confidence in me. And before I knew it, he had updated his Facebook page with him being on the beach in Florida. I kid you not. I want to talk about rest. Not just how he got to the beach, but how I got to a place where, although I can't guarantee anybody else's case is going to be 6 days, but what I did to arrive at a place in my confidence and my journey where I was able to then navigate in my career in a way that really produced results for other people. I know today that that secret is rest. And the reason why rest is so important is because we were not created to carry all the burdens that we're carrying by ourselves. And if you get this concept down, that rest can come and help relieve the burden, I believe that you're going to find your next level. Let's go deeper. I mentioned before that there are two definitions of rest. The first definition, I know, freaks us out. It's about inactivity, stopping what you're doing for just a moment. I know in our minds, we think of vacation time and shutting ourselves off from our phones and from email and things going up in smoke because we have the audacity to step away for just a moment. I'm from California, I've told you that. And we have this concept called the California rolling stop, where you get to a stop sign and you really slow down. We treat stop signs kind of more like yellow lights-ish. We'll look both ways most of the time, but it's not a full stop. Well, according to the law, you need to stop completely. and we have a problem with that. But this is what I want you to do. What I learned, what I discovered with that case that I just told you about, me closing a case in 6 days, those results came after a period of rest. I remember being so distraught about this client walking away from this huge settlement. I was so distraught about not getting paid. I was so distraught that this person would no longer listen to my voice, that I had a business trip, but I effectively was able to shut myself away in a hotel room for a whole weekend. And I was able to cry. I was able to punch pillows if I wanted to. I just let it all out. I mean, after all, I'm 1 year out of law school. This is not looking promising, people. But then I took out a sheet of paper and I wrote down the things that I liked about the case and the things that I didn't like about the case. And it was just in stopping the activity of law for a moment, just stopping life activity for just a moment, I was able to think and to, more importantly, just breathe. It's something about going into a different environment, even if it's stepping outside for a moment. And you become more aware of what's going on with your body. And that's what I'm really trying to convey here. I'm not trying to sell you on going on a long-term vacation. Although if you can afford it, time-wise and money-wise, do it. Yes, travel. But I am advocating for regular periods of time where we check in with ourselves. Where we just stop, taking off the smartwatches, turning off our phones for just a moment. Can you take 15 minutes? Can you take 30 minutes to just stop and to feel your body? Let's do an experiment. I want you to just take a moment to be aware of how you're breathing right now. I know it sounds weird, but really. How's your breathing pattern? Now, I want you to do something. I want you to take a long inhale, but then a really short exhale, and then repeat it. If you start doing that, you're simulating and will eventually start hyperventilating. Isn't that weird? Now, if you do the opposite, a shorter inhale and a longer exhale, even at the sound, you will notice the exact opposite. My point is, a lot of us walk around with so much tension in our bodies, so much activity going on around us, we are not breathing. One of the main things I tell my clients to do when situations are going on at work, drama is popping off, conflict is happening left and right, I say just breathe. Just stop and breathe. Because what the brain is doing, the nervous system is sinking and is able to start clearing out the fight or flight response that's starting to happen. We're breathing. So rest and activity is a moment to stop and breathe. And you probably want to just turn me off right now. You probably think I'm into some kind of woo-woo, weird stuff. But I deal with people every single day. I deal with people in the most contentious parts of their lives, usually. When they're being discriminated at work, it's one of the highest moments of conflict that they will experience. And I have to navigate people through that minute by minute. They will send me emails. I'm about to send this email. I'm like, okay, take a moment. Go for a walk for 15 minutes and then come back. Because that email is going to get you fired. But we can edit it and send one that would actually collect us some evidence. But you're angry and you should be. If you are paying attention at all, you would be angry. And so when we talk about rest, we talk about just taking a moment to be aware of your body, aware of how you are breathing. Okay. That's the first definition. When we come back, I'm going to talk about the second definition. Now, if you're listening to this and you haven't already, I want you to go ahead and sign up to watch the webinar. The webinar is going to give you 3 secrets to how you protect your paycheck at work, how you put together a case, how you start to gather evidence. How do you even know if you need to start that process? Go ahead, click that link below and sign up for the webinar. I'll see you at the webinar. Okay, we talked about the first definition of rest, which is inactivity. You're stopping completely. And I hope for a few minutes, but I hope maybe you can have half a day, a whole day of rest, regular rejuvenation. But certainly as you're dealing with high conflict situations, whether in your professional or personal life, it's really important to breathe. My husband will look over to me and just tell me, exhale. Because he knows I'm sitting there holding everything in. Now, I would not be considered a person who has a hot temper. Very rarely have people actually seen me like visibly angry. You know, I don't go off and cuss people out. That's not my thing. But I am angry often. And I realize I trap all of that anger inside of my body. And I try to be the picture perfect response of tact and just somebody who's here to work out problems and be a peacemaker. But if I were to be honest, I'm a lot more rowdy than that. And so my constant journey, my challenge is to start expressing that anger in a way that's healthy so I don't bottle it in. And one of the ways that I do that is learning to breathe. Now, the second definition of rest is to be free of anxiety. Think about that. To be free of anxiety. For your soul, for your mind to be free of anxious thoughts. Remember how I had you breathing at the beginning? That is what a panic attack looks like. If you've ever had one of those, and I hope you haven't, but it's like you cannot catch your breath to save your life. And you are really trying to save your life in those moments. Your nervous system just gets hijacked. And so to be free of anxiety means that we don't get to that place of having those attacks. How do we get there? How can we guarantee that we will not have to suffer with anxiety? Well, anxiety is a couple of things. It's projected danger. Like you can be in danger right now and you know you have to do something about it. But a lot of times with anxiety, the danger hasn't actually presented itself just yet. It's a fear. You ever heard that acronym? False evidence appearing real. We don't know for sure that it's going to happen. But I also like the definition that is used in therapy circles. It's a formula where anxiety equals an overestimation of danger over, little fraction sign, over an underestimation of your resources to cope with that danger. Huh? In other words, what I think is going to happen, I also don't think I have the tools, I don't have the backup to deal with it. That's what makes it scary. Thinking back on my client story I shared with you, there was a moment when my client saw the danger and didn't think he had the resources to deal with the danger. He calls me. He was panicked. He had a lot of anxiety. But once he knew Attorney Anitra was in his corner, once he knew I would roll up if I had to where he worked, then I had to tell the brother to calm down because he was talking trash at work. And I learned that. I learned that I have to, in my process of dealing with my clients, give them the don't let your head get too big talk. Because there's something about that huge projected danger that you assign to the people at work, that when that starts to diminish and you feel like I have what I need to have in order to deal with it, oh, it's easy to get cocky. It's easy. But that's not our point. We're not trying to be cocky. We don't want to become the very people who are hating on us. We want to go high when they go low and get paid in the process. Here's what this looks like. There is this viral video coming out of Canada of this cute little 2-year-old girl who was having a really hard problem with sleeping at night because she kept saying there were monsters under her bed. And her parents were like, look, this is starting to mess with our sleep. We need to figure something out. So the dad went to the local pharmacy and he had them get a spray bottle like that was filled with water. And he printed a little pharmacy sticker on it that said like monster spray. So he took it back home. He gave it to his daughter and he said, listen, you are a monster slayer. You've got this spray bottle. You spray it. These monsters will go away. And she took this little bottle and she started being able to look under her bed when she was scared. Look in her closet. She's just spraying. Their whole house probably damp because she's just spraying everywhere. And then they had her outside. She was like, Daddy, I think there's a monster. She would go to the bushes and spray. And then she's like, it's okay, Daddy. No more monster. I got it. And it just built her confidence. Why? Because the projected danger, she overestimated the potential danger. She didn't feel like she had the resources to fight it, even with her parents coming in to try to rescue her. But when she had a spray bottle, when she had her own monster spray, she had the resources to deal with whatever danger presented itself. And that's what happens to a lot of us when we are bubbling over with anxiety. We don't feel like we have the resources to cope. But I told you, we are not meant to carry these burdens on our own. We're not meant to carry these burdens on our own. So this is what I want you to understand. You have 5 needs as an employee. I took this information from Maslow's hierarchy of needs, and I translated it for the employment context. So the first thing that you need as an employee, you need pay. Those are your basic necessities in life. Then you need policy. That's the safety. That's how you know that you're working for a place that's not the wild, wild west. There's order. There's protection available to you. The third thing you need, traveling up on this hierarchy of needs, you need partners. You need to know that there are people in a workplace who have your back and will advocate for you. Then you need progress. You have to know that you're able to go somewhere in the organization. And lastly, you need purpose. That where you work aligns with your values. Now, we've been talking broadly about you as a person. We're really focusing on legal therapy. But the reason why I bring up those hierarchy of needs, that even if you go back to Maslow's, you know, his actual hierarchy of needs, you still need these things as a person. And what's happening is that we are full of anxiety and we don't know why. And it's because our needs are not being met. We don't know our needs are not being met because we don't take the time to stop, to breathe, and to really think through what's going on with us. We haven't stopped to take the time to identify the dangers that we think are way too large for us to deal with. What are you really scared of? Are you scared of your manager? Are you scared of losing your job? Are you scared of being humiliated in front of people? What is it that's so big that you feel like you cannot cope with it? I try to encourage people who I know are being abused in the workplace. You have to stand up for yourself. Does your belief system really say that you are so dependent on provision and this job that you will let somebody treat you like that? That's what you have to go through? I challenge that. talked to one of my previous clients recently, and, you know, this client and I, we did this deal with their company a while ago, and this person is still chilling. This person is getting some rest, waiting for the opportunity that they want to jump on. But because they stood up, they realized the danger that they were really projecting and fearing. They got me to back them up, and we created a situation where they were able to walk away with their head held high. Now they're able to wait for a situation that works for them, and they're not rushing into it. So this is what I want you to do. If you don't take anything away from what I've talked to you about today, I want you to take away the fact that you have needs that have to be met. And the reason why you feel that anxiety, that sense of danger, is that your needs are not being met. But in order for you to even articulate those, to even identify those, you have to rest. You have to rest. You have to stop the activity for a moment. And then identify what those dangers are. Because then you can work the rest of the equation and identify some possible sources that can help you cope with that. So after we rest, after we take a moment, we've taken our breaths, and we now understand what we need out of the workplace. I want to talk about the next question you need to ask yourself. It's a phenomenon that's taking over the internet. Everybody's talking about it. But social science says we've been doing this from the very beginning to get back at our bosses. And it's called quiet quitting. I know quiet quitting from my research to be this idea of pulling back, doing the bare minimum. I've read articles in BuzzFeed, Fox Business, The Wall Street Journal. Everybody's talking about quiet quitting. But according to social science, this has been an act of protest for ages. When you feel powerless at work, when you feel burned out, when you feel like you're not getting anywhere, you start to pull back. Meaning you're not going above and beyond. You're not staying after work for hours and getting projects finished. You're not getting to the office before everybody else and being the last person to leave. So how do you know if this is something that you need to do? Well, first and foremost, let me be clear. When you are my client, you tend to be the kind of person who believes in excellence anyway. I personally believe in excellence. It's very difficult for me to pull back. So for me, I see something that needs to be done, and it needs to be done correctly. And it's going to bother me if it's not done. But I had to learn to quiet quit. I had to learn to, here's the phrase, perform my job duties satisfactorily. And if you're not careful, you will train your employers that your satisfactory job performance is really doing your job plus like 3 or 4 other jobs. Now, how do you determine, well, maybe it's worth it to do it that way? Again, those 5 employee needs should be your guide. So, for example, let's say you're not getting paid what you should be getting paid. Well, are there opportunities for growth? Can you look at the employee needs and say, okay, they have some policies. I'm safe here. I'm supported. I have partners. There's a way for me to grow in the company. And I really believe in what we're doing. So all your needs could be met if you just kept going. In that situation, yeah, it makes all the sense in the world for you to go above and beyond and to really, you know, show your worth and show that you can handle much more responsibility. That makes sense. You should not do more than what you need to do at work and essentially quiet quit. If you notice that, I'm not getting opportunities to grow in this company the way that I thought I was going to be able to. They don't pay me correctly, or they don't pay me my worth. Nobody can really pay you what you're worth, but they're not paying you satisfactorily. Then the policies that I thought would help protect me and help get me to the next level, they're not applying those consistently. Then I look to see where my partners are at, And there's nobody who is above me who's willing to mentor me and to really vouch for me in those meetings that take place where people start to throw names in a hat for promotions, which means progress is not going to happen for me. And ultimately, I feel like my purpose does not align with this organization anyway. You, my friend, should probably quiet quit. And for the record, if you quiet quit, it means at one point you were doing the most, you were going above and beyond. And that's fine. I'm trying to get you to a place where you're so clear on who you are that you begin to pick places and ask the right questions on the front end so you don't have to be surprised by the time you get there. That's what a lot of my clients report back to me. Oh my gosh, I was so excited to work there. And then all of a sudden, bam, I found out what they're really about. And there's always going to be that, you know, reveal on how things work behind the curtain. That's to be expected. But when you see a really great divergence between who they say they are in the public and who they are behind closed doors, you should be concerned. You should be concerned. So, quiet quitting, the idea of pulling back, just doing a minimum. If we move forward to the claim, one of the things that the courts wants to see was that you were performing your job duties satisfactorily. The court is not going to ask if you were going above and beyond, if you were working multiple jobs just to show that you were supposed to be there and you were a good employee. They want to know that you were doing your job. So it's not negligent. It's not throwing caution to the wind to pull back and to make sure you're doing your job the way it's supposed to be done. Because I've seen a lot of times you go above and beyond. When it's time for us to bring a claim, they start to attack your performance anyway. And you're like, hold on. I was like going above and beyond. I was doing more than my expectations. I was doing 5 different people's jobs. Like, how are you now attacking my performance? But it happens every time. So if you're at a place that doesn't want to promote you, that doesn't want to support you, you should either make peace with that you're not going to be there for a long period of time, or if you are going to be there for a long period of time, it's going to be stagnant. Now, personally, I don't like being in places where I don't have purpose. I believe success is me working in my purpose at all times. There are moments of transition. Maybe I'm not doing exactly what I want to do, but I'm putting in the work so I can go to the next level. And that's fine. For me, I like to give my all. If I get to even working with clients where there's a barrier to me doing my best work, I need to pull back and see what's going on. So that's it. We've talked about rest today. We've talked about 2 definitions for rest. The inactivity, in which I want you to stop, feel your body, and breathe deeply. And then 2, we talked about how it's being free from anxiety. Then we talked about some strategies, whether it's quiet quitting or just figuring out what you need to do to have the resources to cope with this danger that you've perceived at work. Pulling back and breathing is a really great way to just take the time to take care of you. That's what rest has been about, taking care of you, particularly when there's a lot of drama going on at work. You can't allow yourself to be so sucked in that you become enemy-centered. We want you legacy-centered. We want you knowing how you are valuable, and we want you to know when your needs are not being met. And often, I have found that that just requires you to stop for a moment and just take stock of what's going on. And that's my whole point with rest. You don't take anything away from this. Ask if the place that you are at is serving you, serving your needs that I gave you. And if it's not, take a step back. Quiet quit. It's okay. You're still doing your job when you're doing your job, right? So thanks. This has been session 4, the middle. This is what the foundation of Clarify is based on. You got to be able to rest, stop, and assess. Everything that we're talking about is requiring you to stop and really think about how you are relating to the world, and that is going to inform how you relate to work. This is Attorney Anitra, and I'll see you next time in session 5, where we're talking about impact. Don't miss it. In the meantime, be well.